Good evening. I want to thank you for taking the time out to come tonight to this time of worship as we prepare for Christmas Day. And obviously it took some effort on your part because you're not typically here this time of night. Tonight I want you to join with me with a story that's very familiar. You've already heard it once tonight. The story of the birth of Jesus Christ. But I need you to do something for me tonight. I need you to look at this with new eyes and hear with new ears. I want you to take the cast of characters in this story and look at them in a different way. And I want you to think about how you yourself play an important role in this story also. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Matthew chapter 1 tonight. But I want you to think about this, that as the songs just a few moments ago talked about, Mary, did you know all of these attributes of her son that was to come and save the world? But I want you to think about this for just a moment. 2,000 years after Abraham hears about a seed that would come through his family, 1,400 years after Moses hears about a prophet, 1,000 years after David hears about a future king, 700 years after Isaiah tells of a son-bearing virgin, 600 years after Daniel speaks of a stone, 9 months after Gabriel speaks to Mary, Jesus is born. You see, all the way from the beginning of creation, this plan was put into place for this Savior that would save mankind. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it is recorded this way. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that we can gather tonight in the stillness of this crisp night. Father, we pray that we will focus on the story of Jesus, and not just his birth, but what his entire being means to us as a people. Father, tonight is this time of worship through song and scripture reading and the proclamation of the word and ultimately taking communion. Father, we just pray that we will focus on the true meaning of not just a season, not just a day, but Father, the true meaning of what we are to be, that we are to be the reflection of this God-man, that Father, we are supposed to worship you. We are supposed to proclaim the good news to those around us. And Father, we just ask that tonight you meet us here in this time of worship and that everything be said and done will bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like every story, there's a cast of characters, a setting. There's a reason for the story. And tonight, I want us to look at the nativity story in this way. And the first character of sorts I want us to look at is Mary, because Mary so closely identifies with us. You see, Mary, as you look at the different accounts in the Gospels, Mary was just a sinner chosen by God for a purpose. She was scared, and she didn't understand the plan all the way to the end, knowing every detail in between like so often we want to. But the fact of what we see here is that Mary was obedient. Mary didn't need to know exactly everything that was going to happen. Mary didn't need to know the what ifs. And so often we as a people, as humans, want to plan out that every detail. I was sharing a story earlier this week that I'm taking my wife away for her birthday, and it's months away, and already she wants to know where we're going to eat dinner and what we're going to do and how much is this going to cost and all this stuff. Too often we as humans have to try to figure out it all without taking into the fact that all God calls us to do is to be obedient sometimes. That He gives us a word. He calls us to spread the gospel, to be obedient in other ways, and all He asks for us is simple obedience. Sometimes God doesn't need us to know all of it. He just needs us to know that He's in control. So if we take the look at Mary, that this sinner chosen by God for a purpose was obedient, obedient even to his death. Jesus, like any good mother, wanted the best for her son. She raised him well. She made sure that he would follow the statutes of God as prescribed to their people. But even as he hung on the cross, she was obedient to know, maybe not understanding the full purpose, but she didn't intervene. She didn't pull him down off the cross. She didn't ask to be in his place. What she understood was, as a sinner, she was chosen by God for a purpose. Our next character of sorts to look at is Joseph. Over the last several years, I've been intrigued by Joseph because Joseph had his future planned out. He was a respected, upstanding guy in the community. Often in a village, a Jewish village of this, a carpenter was a very skilled trade. And so there was probably only one, if not just a couple of carpenters in the village. And so people knew who Joseph was. And Joseph, being that upstanding guy, wanted to make sure that he took care of this normal, everyday family. He had a plan of what his family tree would look like and how he would have many kids with Mary, that they would live happily ever after, much like the Disney stories. But God kind of had other plans for that happily ever after. Joseph, according to the culture of the day, could have and should have moved on from Mary. However, listening to the Lord, he set out to be obedient. Do you hear that word again? He set out to protect and to lead his family. He was the head of the household. If you read the story further in Matthew and the Gospels, you see that an angel came to Joseph a second time in a dream to warn him that Herod, who we'll talk about in a few moments, was going to come and kill Jesus, and that he needed to flee with his family for their protection. So Joseph, that upstanding guy who thought he had it all planned out, how often do we all stand sometimes and figure out the plans that we've made are not the plans that God has made? However, after listening to the Lord, he set out to be obedient. Every story needs a good villain. If you know anything about a Disney movie, there's a villain. Well, our story tonight has a villain as well. King Herod. King Herod was what my wife likes to call a snake in the grass, that he puts on a good show for the wise men. He told them that he wanted to worship this newborn king, and that as soon as they found him, to rush back and tell him, because this king wanted to go worship him. However, what we see here is this is a fake facade that Herod put on. Again, where do we see us in this story? How often do we let our desires get in the way of the facade that we put out to people? How often do we say one thing, but really in our heart mean a different thing? How often do we set about thinking that we can manipulate the plan that God has in place? Years ago, a couple years ago, I found a quote, and it said that when it's not in God's time, you can't force it. But when it is God's time, you can't stop it. Herod was up against this truth that God had a plan, that he was going to send the Savior of the universe through a newborn baby in Bethlehem. And Herod could do what he wanted to try to stop it. Yet 33 years later, Jesus proved that even death could not hold back the plan of God. How often do we put up a facade even here at a church and we're not real with one another? We're not real about the desires of what we want to see happen for the kingdom of God. And the warning I can tell you from this is to be very careful, because if you stand in the way of God, and if you stand in the way of the kingdom of God, that's probably not a good end of the story you want to be on. Herod was not remembered in history for good things. Don't be the villain of our story. One of my favorite people of the Christmas story are the shepherds. They're some of our earliest missionaries. I've got a heart for missionaries. They saw and they experienced the Savior and left to spread the good news across the countryside. But what is intriguing about the fact of the shepherds being part of this story is that if you know anything about the culture of the day, that God used poor, smelly, uneducated shepherds to spread the good news that he was sending a Savior to the world. He didn't depend on the highly educated in the temple. He didn't depend on the scholars of the day. Now, while all of those have a good place, he wanted these shepherds to have just a big enough part in spreading the gospel as the rest of our cast. Oftentimes, we forget that God uses us too. Oftentimes, we hear, well, I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm to this, or I'm to that. God's got a plan for every one of us gathered here tonight. God can use you in a very specific way to spread that good news. And it's up to us to decide, are we going to be, what was the word again? Obedient. One of the often misunderstood, because we don't know a lot about, the wise men. If you have been in the Richardson household, you might get a chuckle because we're a collector of nativity scenes. We've got them from all over the world. If Becky has her way, the wise men will be nowhere near that nativity scene, because in fact, the wise men were late to the party. They traveled from far away. It took them between 2 and 3 years to get there, but yet they got there. They traveled all that distance from the east in such a way so that they too could worship this new found Messiah. They traveled far away to come and honor and worship the promised Messiah. In the world of preaching, we often joke that it takes 90 gallons to baptize someone and 6 drops of rain to keep them out of church on Sunday. Think of what the wise men had to encounter and overcome in their journey to see Jesus. Think of the threats that were probably there in front of them. Think about the inconvenience. Think about the cost. And so I ask you this. Again, I told you at the beginning of this, you made an effort to be here tonight. 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night is not usually church time. Obviously, God had a reason for you to be here. So what I want to ask you in the new year, and as we begin thinking about new things and new ways of doing things in the new year, I want to ask you, if these wise men can travel 3 years over this terrain against all odds and threats, what will it take you to travel to a place of worship, to honor God, and to be, what's that word again? Obedient. So we've talked about this cast of characters, and I hope that maybe you've kind of looked at those characters and kind of seen them with a different light of how did you interact with this nativity story tonight? But there's a character we forgot. You and me. We often forget that you and I were on the mind of God when he put this newborn baby in the womb, 9 months later to be born in a strange city against the odds of the threats of being killed soon after. God did all of that for you and I. The Arnolds read one of my favorite verses of scripture when they came up. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. God thought enough of you and I that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God thought enough of you and I that when Adam and Eve made the mistakes they made in Genesis 3 and brought sin into the world, and that sin nature came down through the lineage of King David and to the rest of us, that he thought enough of us that this baby would be born, live a sinless life, and take our place at Calvary. So as we come together and we celebrate Christmas, there are lots of things that take our attention away at the Christmas season. Lots of plans we put into place. Lots of things we want to try to do. Lots of family to see, people to visit. What I want you to remember when you leave here tonight, every year we commission you when you leave out of here to make sure that you do not take this for granted, that there are people across the globe that cannot worship freely as we are tonight. And that when we've been called to share the gospel and to be obedient, that God will put opportunities in front of us to be obedient. And so I want to explain this very clearly. In just a few moments, we're going to experience communion. And the way we experience communion here, it's an open communion table. If you are a Christian, we would love for you to take part in this. You do not have to be a member of this church here, but we do ask that you be a born-again believer. However, what does it mean to be a born-again believer? You see, Christmas and Easter can't happen without one another. So I want to go through the story very quickly with you that Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis 3. Sin entered into the world. There was a great divide between mankind and a holy God. And so as we've come together at the table tonight, we will memorize the sacrifice that Jesus Christ took at Calvary. Jesus, being born of a virgin, living a sinless life, was killed in our place. And so what we celebrate, what we remember, is the fact that if we call upon the name of Jesus and we admit that we are a sinner, just as Adam and Eve, just as Mary, just as everyone since that point, and we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we can call on the name of Jesus. And so that's what we mean by being a born-again believer. If you've never made that commitment, we would love for you to make that commitment tonight. You're welcome to come down and see me in just a few moments while we're praying for the communion table. But then what I want to remind you as a Christian is you've made that commitment. You understand this cast of characters in the Nativity story. You understand even your place in the story, that God calls you to be an obedient believer. You understand all of that. But what that means is it's a daily choice to take up our cross and to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And so as we take of communion, we are reminded of the sacrifice that Christ bled and died in our place. But the best part is we get to celebrate the fact that he's no longer in the grave, that 3 days later, Christ rose again, and that he is seated and he'll come back for his family. And I just want you to take serious the opportunity that we have before us tonight. Don't let this to be one more tradition that you've always done. Let this be a time that we focus. Let this be a time that we ask God, how can we be more obedient to what He's called each individual of us to do tonight? So as our pianist comes and prepares and she can start playing, I want to lead you in just a time of reflection. If you'll pray with me. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that as we worship together and we've taken a look at a very, very familiar story to most of us, that Father, that we spend this time preparing for communion, reflecting inward. The scripture says that Mary heard the words of the angel and pondered these things in her heart. Father, now is the time for us to ponder these things in our heart that we've heard the scripture say that if we call on the name of Jesus, we will be saved. We've heard scripture say that we have a need for a Savior that you provided in Bethlehem to come. And Father, none of this caught you by surprise. This isn't plan B. But Father, this is an opportunity for us to worship you. Father, I just ask that those that are gathered here tonight, Father, that you will impart on their hearts what you would have them do. That, Father, as we leave here at the end of the service and we are going home to prepare to spend time with our families tomorrow, that we don't forget the reason why we've gathered here tonight. And that is to worship the risen Savior. Father, we just ask that as we spend this time at the table, we do not take for granted what you have done for us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If our deacons will pray.